The following program is a presentation of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction.
Did you know that when it comes to selling your unwanted valuables, you probably don't have the slightest idea what you're doing? But don't worry, because now you're in the money. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? I'm David Bluestein.
And I'm Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio.
We're here each Thursday evening at 8 o'clock to provide an insider's view on the world of jewelry, coins, antiques, collectibles, and the art of buying and selling almost anything, and I do mean almost anything. We're the owners and the operators of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction up in Stone Oak, and we're on the front line with a finger on the pulse of this market every single day. And as of this moment, right now, you have a friend in the business. 210-308-8867, 210-308-8867, toll free at 866-308-8867. We're taking your questions and comments on all these topics and more. Our producer, Brian Downs, is at the switchboard. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Glad to have y'all back.
Yeah, good for us for coming back. And also, our phone lines are open right now. Please call Brian, and he'll let you know you're on the he'll let us know you're on the phone and that you want to talk to us. You know, every time I do that introduction, I say that as of now, you have a friend in the business. And I always think of the Toyota that I'm driving right now that I bought a couple years ago at a Toyota dealership that will remain nameless. And the gentleman forced me to make an offer. He would not tell me what his best price was. He told me to make an offer. I offered a price that was below the sticker price. And he told me, ooh, of course, now if I sold it to you at that price, we would lose money. And frankly, I know that's not true. But he said if at that price they would lose money, but he would go ask the manager. He disappeared. He came back. And he said, look, we're going to lose money on this deal, but we don't really care about that because we'll make a friend. We just want to be your friend. And I'm thinking, you know, we just did a short interview with a gentleman. He knew I was in the business of buying and selling, making deals. How could he tell me that? Because I don't believe that for a second. And that's not what I want our listeners to think when I'm saying that you have a friend in the business. What I mean, really, is that if you were my brother or sister or son or daughter or my mother and father, I wouldn't say a syllable differently when I answer your questions than when I would talk to them. We never promise that you're going to like the information we give you, but you know what? It'll be true and accurate. This week up in Stone Oak, we're going to do our 230th auction in the last 3.5 years. And we've handled so much merchandise, some things rarely, some things very frequently, but we just know an awful lot about what things bring on the open market between willing buyers and sellers. Doesn't matter what it says in a book or what your Aunt Millie told you, or even what you saw on television, because there's a lot of shows on television spreading a lot of misinformation, and you're going to hear us talk about that a lot. We just want you to know that when you're talking to us here on the show or at the gallery or even on the street, that we have a little trick that we use to gain your confidence. We look you in the eye and we tell you the truth, and we find that that works pretty well. It's true that we'd like to make $1 million from you, but it doesn't have to be today. Our whole concept is that we want a long-term relationship with you, and the way to get you coming back is to take good care of you, and the money takes care of itself.
And the information is always free. We always look at it like investment spending, and that's exactly what we're doing here today.
Yeah, if it takes some time. We don't do a lot of advertising. You're not going to see us on in the media or in the magazines saying, we buy gold, give us your stuff, we'll sell it for you. We just want to meet you and talk to you, and if and when you feel ready, come do some business with us. And in any case, that's the whole tone of our show here. We wouldn't tell you anything differently if you were our flesh and blood. The truth is the truth, and it shall set us free. And now, let's get back to our nonstop coverage of the events of Benghazi. That's probably a bad joke. What I really want to do is to start out, we like to start the week with a trivia question. The In the Money trivia question, in fact. Let's put a brand name on that. And I really wanted to get the phone lines lit up tonight, so I wanted to ask an easy one. It sounds a little bit technical, but here's the clue. It's not. The answer is in what I'm about to say. Many people don't know that through the year 1964, up to and including 1964, the United States made silver coins. The dimes, the quarters, and the half dollars were made out of 90% silver. And the fact is, with the price of silver where it is now, these coins are worth pretty close to 20 times their face value just for the silver. We're not talking about collectible coins. None of the 1964 coins are collectible. They made tens and hundreds of millions of silver coins that year. But just the silver value alone, 20 times the face value. So a dime is close to $2, a quarter has close to $5, and a half dollar has close to $10 worth of silver in it. So, you know, if you brought me 10 nice new uncirculated 1964 dimes, that would contain 0.72 troy ounces of pure silver, just under 3/4 of an ounce of pure silver. 10 1964 dimes. You know, we use the term troy ounces all the time. A troy ounce is about 10% heavier than the regular ounce. The technical word for the regular ounce is avoirdupois. Every high school and college, well, a lot of high school and college kids know there are 28 grams to an ounce. You can figure that one out. It's actually 28.35 grams to a regular ounce, but a troy ounce, 31.103 grams, so it's a little bit heavier.
But whenever we talk about precious metal, we always talk about troy ounces. All the time, I hear people talk about pounds of silver, or you know, they might be using avoirdupois ounces of gold. Always troy ounces we're talking about.
Or people weighing their silverware on a postal scale and figuring 28 grams to the ounce, and then being puzzled when the numbers don't come out right. No, 31.103 grams to the troy ounce. 10 nice new uncirculated 1964 dimes contain 0.72 troy ounces of pure silver. 4 nice new uncirculated 1964 quarters contain a total of 0.27 troy ounces of pure silver. 0.72. Is that what I said?
You said 0.27.
That's 0.72. I'm just learning my numbers, ladies and gentlemen. Now, for today's In the Money trivia question, if you had two nice new uncirculated 1964 Kennedy half dollars, two nice new Kennedy half dollars, how many troy ounces of pure silver would you have?
Well, I think I know this one.
Well, I think I told you the answer, but we want to see the phone lines light up. Call us right now, 210-308-8867, or toll-free at 866-308-8867. And we have a prize for the first caller with the right answer. Brian, we want to talk to anybody who calls in. Sometimes it's more fun when they have the wrong answer. So please put them through. But if you've won an In the Money trivia quiz in the last year or so, please sit on your hands and give someone else a chance, for goodness sake. But if you're the first caller with the right answer tonight, I have an 1882 Morgan silver dollar for you. It's 130 years old. I hope you're the first caller and that you get it right. Hey, have you noticed all those we buy old gold places all over town? Well, of course you have. They started popping up 3-4 years ago when the price of gold started soaring, and you're going to notice that the price of gold, which has come down quite a bit from approximately 1940 to where it is now in the 1370 range, that you're going to notice these places starting to close down now too.
Gold right now.
I'm sorry,
1457.40.
Okay, you've got that
this second.
Well, it came down to just under 1400 when it came down hard a few weeks ago. And in that range, it's harder and harder for these we buy old gold people to make a living buying gold and silver. You know, why do they say we buy old gold and the signs don't say we buy old silver? Well, because gold's worth about 60 times more than silver is, so they'd much rather have your gold. And, you know, we even see at HEBs, almost every HEB has a gold and silver buying place. You know, hey, HEB, we don't sell shrimp. Why are you buying gold and silver? I don't get that. And I figure that even the dishwasher at Denny's would like to buy your gold and silver if you're willing to sell it cheaply enough, so anybody will buy it. Hey, have you sold any unwanted jewelry in the past few years? How did that go? Did you understand the process? Did you walk away with unanswered questions? Were you satisfied with the result? We're going to be talking about that tonight. We're going to walk you through the process of what happens when you go to sell your unwanted valuables. We talk to people every day who want to do it, but they're not sure how it works, and they're just a little spooked about doing it. So call us right now, 210-308-8867, toll free at 866-308-8867. Let us know your experience with selling your unwanted gold and silver jewelry to us, to anybody else. No names, please. Don't get us sued. But let us know what happened, and we want to hear from you.
That before we talk about what to look out for when you go to sell your merchandise, how to know that somebody is treating you fairly, I think it's also important to talk about what to look out for when you know when someone's not treating you fairly.
The red flags, the things that should make you say run.
That's right. Well, I personally, before I got into the business, and even while I'm in the business, go into other places that buy gold and silver and coins and other kinds of merchandise, and first I noticed that an awful lot of them are rude. And that they don't seem happy to see me. I come in and it seems like just to talk to them, even to sell them something, to go there and be one of their customers.
Like you're bothering them.
Yeah, like I'm bothering them. And I'm always puzzled by that.
Yeah.
You always look out for.
At least you could be as friendly and act like you want the business, because you certainly do. You know, my pet peeve is exactly what they show you on TV. When somebody walks into a pawn shop or a gold or silver buying place, the person behind the counter asks, "What are you looking to get for that?" And I'm always thinking, "What are you hoping that they say something stupid?" What exactly is it that you're looking for? So I don't know why anybody would ask what you're looking to get. We're the experts. We're the ones who are going to tell you what the merchandise is worth, what's the most we're willing to pay for it. So why would anybody ask you that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That most of the time they'll ask you, what are you looking to get, and then automatically offer you 50% of that.
That's a no-brainer. If somebody asks you what you're looking to get, don't answer that question. Make them go first. And even run, just run out of the place. Hey, boy, this is the fastest hour on radio. That music means we're up against a break, but we're going to be right back. You're listening to In the Money with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. Hi, I'm David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction and co-host of KLUP's In the Money. When you want a new car, you don't drive your old car to the junkyard. When it's time to move, you don't sell your old house for firewood. So why would you treat your old jewelry that way? Your unwanted valuables aren't scrap. At the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, up to 25,000 qualified bidders from all over the world compete for your unwanted valuables at our live auctions. We also need your coins and currency, firearms, and almost any unwanted valuable. Sell it on the spot or auction it for even more money. What's in your closet? Get more at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio. Texas license number 16604, member of the Better Business Bureau. Call 210-592-8786 or visit jewelryexchangeandauction.com. jewelryexchangeandauction.com. You're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? 210-308-8867, toll free at 866-308-8867. We're taking your questions and comments, and our phone lines are open right now. We do have our first call of the evening. Unfortunately, though, it's a gentleman who is asking us to repeat the trivia question. I know I ramble. People tell me that all the time. But here, let's ask that question.
Do the short version.
Very succinctly now. 10 nice new uncirculated 1964 dimes contain a total of 0.72 troy ounces of pure silver. 4 nice new uncirculated 1964 quarters contain a total of 0.72 ounces of pure silver. Here's the question. If you had two nice new uncirculated 1964 Kennedy half dollars, how many troy ounces of pure silver would you have? Please call us. First one to call with the correct answer, 210-308-8867. We have a prize for you. Now let's get back. We're walking you through the steps of selling your unwanted gold or silver.
Well, apparently Dave's on the line.
He's on there. Maybe he has an answer already.
Well, let's hope so. let's take his call. Hello, you're in the money. What can we do for you?
Yes, sir. I kind of missed that at the beginning there, and so I need to tell you what two 64 half dollars silver content would be.
Yes. Well, how many troy ounces of pure silver in that?
Troy ounces. Man, I don't know. Let's see. 70.7. Okay, wait a minute. 0.72 and 0.7140. Would it be 1.44?
Nope. I'm going to tell you thanks for calling, but no, that's not right. So the prize is still up for grabs. If you think you know the answer, please give us a call. Let's get back to selling your unwanted valuables.
And we were talking about some red flags when you're going to sell your merchandise. If you see any of these things happening, if any of these things happen to you, you should run.
And I've got a couple others too. Before we say what really will happen and what should happen, I hate it when they take your stuff into the back room. And not that they're stealing it, but what are they doing back there? Come talk to me and let me know what you're looking at and what's going on.
It's very rare that I would ever have to do anything that would involve taking merchandise out of the owner's sight.
Yeah.
It's just not necessary.
Everyone's always afraid someone's going to go switch the diamonds. I've got to tell you, the commercial-grade diamonds that we see in most jewelry, you'd be out of your mind if you were a jeweler and you risked your reputation and a lawsuit or jail time to swap to get those diamonds. Most diamonds are commercial grades and just not worth even thinking about stealing or swapping. We'll be talking over the next few weeks a lot about diamonds and gemstones.
That's
and all
right.
About that. But in any case, there's no reason to take it out of your sight. Why can't they do that right in front of you?
Another red flag is not offering on stones. That includes diamonds
Isn't
and gemstones. Yes, a lot of small diamonds and gemstones have very little value. If you had brought me a piece of jewelry that was missing a small diamond or gemstone, if I had it, I would likely give it to you. And yeah, I'm saying that on the air. You can come on in and show me your merchandise. We can find a lot of these replacement stones, and they're worth very, very little.
Yeah, so watch out for those red flags. We're going to tell you about the green flags in just a second, but it looks like we have Dennis on the line with an answer to our trivia question. Hello, Dennis. You're in the money. What do you have for us?
Oh, yes, sir. Great show. I've enjoyed listening to it.
And thank you.
I don't know. I'm going to take a stab at the answer.
Lucky stab.
I'll give you 0.72 troy ounces.
Well, you're a good guesser. Tell me something. Is this something you kind of already knew, or was the answer in the question itself?
The answer was in the question. Oh. I did not know it.
Well, that's what I thought. You know, but that's what we want everybody to know. 10 dimes, 4 quarters, 2 half dollars. When they're made out of silver, it's all the same thing.
Correct.
And unless they're collectible or there's something special about them, each one represents 0.72 ounces of pure silver. So tell me, Dennis, let's see how smart you are. If you had 5 dimes and 1 half dollar, how many troy ounces of pure silver?
I think about 0.72.
It's about 0.72. Did you calculate that? And
yeah, I got a calculator right here.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Dennis, that's great.
You want a job?
Yeah, I got one, fortunately.
Dennis, when we say goodbye, Brian, our producer, is going to come on here. He's going to get your last name and phone number.
Thank you.
All you have to do is come up to see us at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in Stone Oak. Do you know where that is? Do you know where we are?
Well, pretty much.
Okay.
I'll find it.
You know, the way I describe it, in Stone Oak, in all of Stone Oak, there's one lonely McDonald's, and we're on the same corner as the McDonald's.
Okay.
If you can't find the Jewelry Exchange,
I'll
ask your
it.
Kids where the McDonald's is.
Yep. Okay. I've been wanting to come up there anyway because, like I said, I enjoy your show, and you guys give out a lot of great information.
That's all. We're just trying to share it with you, brother.
Appreciate
1882
it.
Morgan Silver Dollar. Come on up. That's all yours. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Calling, Dennis. Don't stop listening. We'll listen again next week.
I'm going to listen whenever I can.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Dennis.
Congratulations. We promised to talk to you about what kinds of things you should be looking for in someone who's going to buy your jewelry. And I think we can't even talk about the process and the good or the bad things that's going to happen I don't. People always want to whip out the jewelry and start telling me their stories about it. And we politely pretend to listen, but we're going to do our own assessment. And your stories and what you think it is are often nice and sweet, and sometimes they're even correct, your assessment of what you have. But very often it's incorrect. We have to do our own thing. But before I even look at somebody's jewelry, I like to cover it with my hands and look the seller in the eye and make sure they understand what this is all about. Because, folks, people come in with their appraisal in their hand, and the appraisal says that the piece is worth $10,000. They paid $8,000 for it because the jeweler wanted to give them an appraisal that was more than what they charged, because they want you to know that you got a great deal on it.
What a great investment.
Oh, what a great investment. And in fact, that's one of our facts of life. It's in the money facts of life number 13. Jewelry, as Adam said, is an investment. Jewelry is an investment. It's a really, really bad investment. The jewelers that we have on the show here, they don't like it when we ask them that question. Is jewelry a good investment? Because you hear in the jewelry business all the time what a great investment is. What a horrible investment that is. Facebook stock, which has turned out to be an awful investment, is a much better investment than any piece of jewelry we've ever seen anywhere.
And people seem to know and accept that when you buy a brand new car and drive it off the lot, that the second you drive it off the lot, it loses a significant amount of value. With jewelry, it's even worse, but I think most people don't realize it until they actually go to sell it, and then they're horrified what a knowledgeable person has to say.
Hey, Adam, yeah. Brian's giving me one of the fingers over here.
No, I'm just going to say, just to let y'all know, I had him actually look at my wedding ring one day. While I was visiting with them, and I know what my wife paid for it, and what they told me was at least 50% less.
Your wife paid for your wedding ring?
And I paid for hers.
Oh,
it works
that's
out.
That's nice. That's sweet.
Because we weren't married at the time. We had our own money. So I got hers. She got mine. And they told me it was about 50%. The value, what they could get it, sell it at, was 50% less than what she bought it at.
It's so simple. You know, what we do is... You know, when you go to a retail store, it's all about love, right, and obligation, and you don't want to be embarrassed, and they say, what do they say, 3 months' salary, 4 months' salary?
They're something
really
like that,
pushing
yeah.
you into it. No, we're scientists and technicians. We don't talk about how, oh, it looks so nice with your skin tone, or it goes with your eyes. No, what's it weigh? What is it replaceable for? What would it bring at auction? Auction is the ultimate test of what something is worth. What will it bring when you show it to thousands of people? And the rules are so simple. There's a term in jewelry called keystoning, and there's even a term called double keystoning. Keystoning means that a jeweler pays X dollars for something and sells it for two times that price. Double keystoning, he pays X dollars and charges three times that price. That's the jewelry business. Some people say, oh, well, that means that they're ripping you off. No, that's the jewelry business. They have their costs. They have their routine. They're just doing what they have
to
do.
It always seems to me that they have to tie up an awful lot of money in inventory.
And they're not exactly blowing merchandise out of there usually. It's kind of calm and subdued, and they're just waiting for the right buyer to come along. So when you think about it, if you paid $9,000 for a ring, it probably cost the jeweler somewhere between $4,500 and $3,000. And for that same amount of money, we or anybody in the business can buy the same ring brand new. Your $9,000 ring would cost us as little as $3 brand new, and it would be brand new.
Not $3.
$3,000.
$3,000, right.
Now, it's been a long day. We've been up doing business all day. So the $9,000 ring would cost us as little as $3,000, and it would be brand new. Your piece that you're bringing us is not brand new. So you might be thinking $9,000. We're thinking I can get a brand new for $3,000. So if we love it, how could we pay more than $2,000 for it? And we're the good guys. If you have a $9,000 appraisal on a ring, you could hear offers around for as little as $1,000, $500. And if you heard those offers, most people are going to think, oh, these people are trying to rip me off. But you know what? You have already lost the jewelry game as soon as you bought the new jewelry. And you can't recover that money. It's gone. You didn't lose the game once you walked into a place that buys used jewelry. You lost the game as soon as you paid retail for a piece of jewelry. What kind of investment do you lose 70, 80, 90% of your money on immediately once you pay the bill? What kind of investment is that? It's not an investment. It's an investment. it's a really, really bad investment. So we just want to make sure you understand that. So people say, but I have an appraisal. The jeweler says my piece is worth $9,000. No. An appraisal is like you drive your used car to a car dealer and say, what will you give me for my used car? And he says, we're selling the brand new 2013 shiny new models for $22.99. Say, what, you jackass? I didn't ask what you would sell me a new one for. What will you give me for the used one? The story, and I don't have to tell you, already know, the story is very, very different. It's the way the jewelry industry works. And I make sure people understand that. If you're not ready to hear an offer of a lot less than what your appraised value is or what you paid for that piece, I don't want to upset you. I don't want to bother you. I don't want to hurt your feelings, and I sure don't want you to go away mad. So I won't even make an offer on it.
Yeah, I pretty much make the same speech before I even look at the piece of jewelry, because the information doesn't change depending on what you have. And if you're not prepared to understand that, then there's really nobody
that
can
help you. You have to find a private buyer. It's true there are brand names that'll do better and better, but it doesn't matter. You can't get anything like retail for your jewelry. And if that's what you're expecting, you're going to be disappointed by anybody, not just the bad guys, even by the good guys. Hey, the music is a heartbreak. KLUP is going to take you away, but we're not going anywhere. Come back with more insider information and answers to your questions with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. We're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? 210-308-8867, toll free at 866-308-8867. We'd love to hear from you. Call us with your questions and your comments. The phone lines are open right now. We're walking you through what happens when you sell your unwanted jewelry. And we've told you some of the red flags to look out for, the things that should make you run. And we're also explaining to you that there's no way you recover any significant portion of what you paid for this jewelry, because jewelry is an investment, a very bad investment. And Adam, when you finally dig into a tray full of jewelry, what happens first?
Ultimately, I'm going to make an offer. Anybody that's treating you fairly will make you an offer based on the resellability of that merchandise. Right. And I know there are a lot of places out there that are going to tell you that, oh, we don't resell it, we just melt it. And no, they don't. Even if they don't have display cases, even if it doesn't look like they're reselling the merchandise, they're reselling it, and they do save the better merchandise to get more for it.
Yeah, most buyers of used jewelry are savvy enough to know that names like David Uhrman and Tiffany don't go to the refiner. And here in South Texas, James Avery, a big name, very, very popular. And in fact, where do we get our jewelry that we sell at our weekly auctions? Some of it's from private people, listeners just like you. But some of it is from chains of people who buy gold and silver and generally treat it as scrap and then reconsign it because they want to reap the higher value of those designer names.
And just like we have these facts of life, In the Money Facts of Life, that are on our website, some 14 basic rules. We could write hundreds of these rules, but here are 14 that we chose. If you understand them, they're going to save you an awful lot of heartache, keep you from making some pretty stupid decisions.
And you can find these all on our In the Money Radio website, www.inthemoneyradio.com. Adam, did you want to talk about those?
Well, ultimately, I was just going to refer to number 8, condition matters, that when I take a look at a piece of jewelry, one of the first things I do is look at the condition. If I'm considering to resell it, I mean, an awful lot of jewelry has been worn and loved and is all worn out. And that's, you know, especially when it comes to rings and bracelets, they get an awful lot of abuse. And that I know some of these pieces are beautiful, some of them are name brands, even David Uhrman, but if it's all worn out and all broken and busted up and it's been repaired a few times, there's really no reason to think that anybody's going to pay a premium for that. That even a piece of David Yurman can be scrap metal if it's not in a resellable condition.
Yeah, and I like the used car analogy again, because yes, you could take a used car and put a lot of money and time into it and make it look really, really snazzy, but if it's not going to bring a much higher price, what is the point of that? So sometimes it's time to take a what used to be a pretty cool car and bring it to the scrapyard, and that's exactly what we're doing with jewelry. Ultimately, gold silver buyers, for the most part, are a recycling center. It's just not tin cans, and it's just not, or aluminum cans, and it's not an old car. It's a recycling center for old jewelry, an old graveyard for old jewelry.
And style also matters. Most of the time when I see people bring in merchandise, what they're wearing is all white metals, either platinum or white gold or silver, and what they're selling is all yellow. And that a lot of jewelry, the faux nugget styles and the cluster rings from the 70s and 80s, it's just out of style. People are not competing for that. There's so much of it out on the market.
We sold last Saturday at auction about a dozen cameos, and some of them were just gorgeous. And when I started 30, 35 years ago, ladies loved cameos, and they wore them, and it just spoke of the past. Nice carved seashell material set in gold frames or silver frames, lattice work with diamonds, gorgeous. And we sold 9 or 10 of them last week. And you could hear the crickets while we were calling for bids. Just not really an awful lot of interest in that. What
Actually,
a shame.
One way I gauge interest in merchandise is people specifically asking me for it. People specifically ask me for Rolexes and guns and Tiffany and David Yurman.
But nobody's
nobody
asking.
Ever has asked me for a cameo.
They're not asking for yellow gold shrimp earrings. The coin rings are out now. When I was a kid and started in this business, the coin rings were so popular. But none of that anymore. The faux nugget jewelry. In fact, yellow gold is even a really bad seller. And people say, oh, but you can sell it. Well, no, we can offer it for sale. But no, yellow gold, just take a look around, ladies and gentlemen, especially in the jewelry stores or at the mall. You're not going to see an awful lot of yellow gold out there. And if people aren't wearing it, then they're not buying it either.
But when it comes to style, to be something that I can pay a lot more for, that anybody can pay a lot more for because of resellability, it's got to be a contemporary style. It's usually white with stones. And there is such thing as so old that it comes back into style.
Right.
When we start to talk about some of these beautiful Art Deco filigree pieces.
Hot, hot, hot.
White gold, very often platinum, with European cut diamonds.
And sometimes sapphires or emeralds or even rubies. That's the hottest thing on the market. You kind of put it on the scale for a reference point. But anyone who says, well, it's got so much worth of gold in it, oh, you're talking to the wrong people. That's gonna be hot, and people will compete for it. At auction, the most popular merchandise can go for as much as 50% of its original retail value. A Tiffany piece can go for as high as 50% of its original retail value. And people are often shocked, but I paid $1,200 for it, and it might sell for as much as $600, but it could sell for $200 to $300 too. I have four sisters. One of my sisters, if she doesn't buy it at Neiman Marcus or even higher grade, then it's not any good. And the idea that she would wear a piece of estate jewelry, and that's what, you know, estate jewelry, used jewelry, she wouldn't put that anywhere near her body. If Yurman was asking $1,200 and she pays less than $1,200, it wasn't the same thing. And for her to buy it estate and wear it, it's not going to happen. So I don't care if you offered her that bracelet for $50, she's not going to buy it. People who want to buy a $1,200 piece of Yurman and are willing to pay $1,000 or $900 for it, folks, they're just going to buy a new piece of jewelry. If it's at auction and it's estate, no one's going to pay more than $600, and they hope to get it for 10 shiny new uncirculated 1964 dimes.
Yeah, my experience is that most... My experience is that most name brand jewelry, that when we go to resell it, realistically, we're gonna get somewhere between a third to a half of the original retail price.
And the pieces that are nice but not brand name, that are available in the jewelry stores now, but they're estate, so they're at auction, 20% to 35%. If you want to buy estate jewelry at 20% to 35% of the appraised value, you should be buying your jewelry at an auction, assuming that you trust the source of the material and that you have certain guarantees. But if you're selling your jewelry and you're not prepared to sell it at 20 to 35% of the appraised value, well, then you have to do the Craigslist, eBay route, or talk to everybody at work and see if they want to buy it, and good luck with all of that.
And another thing that that anybody that's treating you fairly is going to do when they look at your jewelry is verify that it's real. If somebody looks at a tray of merchandise and shoots you a price without carefully examining it, then that means they're working on such a large margin that they know that if there are some mistakes in there, that's okay, they're still covered.
And don't think that doesn't happen. We hear those stories all the time, that people making offers without even carefully assessing each piece. We work on a profit margin. We're one of the few people in the business willing to talk about that. Our profit margins almost exclusively run between 2% and 30%. And that sounds kind of like a wide range, but compared to the 100 and 200% markups in the jewelry business, or even a 35 to 150% markup at Walmart, no, our 2 to 30% is really pretty modest. And as we continue with this program, you'll understand under what circumstances we use which percentage.
I just went into a place, I won't name the name, they had their prices posted, they're offering 45% a spot.
Yeah, it's not necessary. We know places that will offer 50% of spot, and if you start to walk out, they're authorized to offer more, but you have to pretend to walk out first. Well, that's crazy.
And so part of the process of checking if it's real, reading the hallmarks. The hallmarks pretty much always tell the whole story. It does happen, but usually they're actually correct too. That there are zillions of ways of saying not gold,
right,
and not silver,
right,
and only a few ways of saying gold and silver. On the gold, you're looking for things that say, for example, 10 carat, 14 carat, 18 carat.
Except there's the problem. You can look at a lot of pieces of jewelry and you say, look, it says right there, 14 carat. But you know what? Maybe there's something before the 14 carat and something after the 14 carat. For example, a lot of older jewelry is what's called gold-filled, which is tantamount to being just a gold plate with a very little gold value. And it might say 1/10 14-carat GF, or even spell out gold-filled. And it always has amazed me that people will say, see, it says 14-carat.
They get tunnel vision.
Well, once you read the whole thing, it says it is some fraction of 14-carat gold-filled. And what you have is something where it costs more money to extract the gold out of that than the actual gold is worth. You have to read
it. Or HGE, same thing. It's a modern.
Yeah, heavy gold electroplate, the thinnest gold plate known to man.
They almost always say 18-carat.
18K HGE. Mm-hmm. No, it says...
And it's magnetic, too.
It can be. Silver is especially dangerous because it has all sorts of marks over it. You know, you have Reed and Barton or Oneida or Tolley, great names of silver manufacturers. And it says, for example, Reed and Barton, and it has the pattern name, and it has a bunch of code numbers.
Silversmiths.
And it has a little emblem, their little logo on there, and people come and think that it must be solid silver. Well, you know, I'll tell you something. Reed and Barton has a stamp. I bet you they have more than one of them. And they have a hammer, and they have various means of imparting that stamp onto the piece of silver. And that stamp says sterling, for sterling silver. Sterling is a British standard of 92.5% pure silver. When Reed and Barton make sterling, they put the word sterling on there. You know, when Lexus makes a Lexus, they put the word Lexus on there, and they don't leave you guessing, I think it's a Lexus. Look, that must be a Lexus. It sure looks like one. People come in, they say, it felt like it. It looked like it. It smelled like it.
Someone told me.
What was the guy? He said he rubbed it on his forehead and it turned black. I mean, you hear all the... But I've got a better one for you. Look for the word sterling, or maybe the number 925. Then it's sterling. All these other... Just because it says International Silver Company doesn't mean it's made out of silver.
Right, and there are a zillion other examples that I'm sure we'll get to sometime. But that another thing that we'll do to get more for you, so you can get more for your resellable jewelry, we can purchase it for more than just the component value, a premium because it's resellable, or even better, what nobody else can do for you is talk about consigning it for auction, where for better merchandise, rather, if you're not in a hurry to cash out of it today, you don't have to raise the money today, that we can talk about selling it for you at one of our live jewelry auctions.
Yeah, you know, there are 14 of us up there all together who produce this auction, full-time and part-time. And we all have our specialties. I keep coming back to the coin analogies because I'm a coin guy. In the coin trade, in the coin magazines and the newspapers, we're always reading about record prices for certain coins, and it's always as a result of them being offered at auction. We kind of have a phrase, when great collections are sold, they're sold at auction. One of our facts of life is facts of life number 6, it takes two bidders to make an auction. When we sell merchandise, we don't say, who would like to bid on this piece? Someone says, I'll bid $10. We don't say, sold $10. We say, that's nice, sir. You bid $10. Would you like to bid $15, ma'am? Would you like to bid $20, ma'am? And try to get higher and higher bids for it. And so
we don't expect you to do anything different.
Well, why would you do it any differently? You offer your merchandise to someone, they make an offer, and you say yes or no. You know, anybody who tells you they're always the, oh, sir, madam, don't take this anywhere else. We're the high bidders. We pay more than anybody else in town. There's anybody who tells you that is lying to you. I mean, here we are in the business. If that were possible to say that, we'd be telling that to you, but it would be a lie. You have to shop around because different people have different needs for different types of merchandise at different times. And why should you sell to the first bidder? Get 2 or 3 different offers for whatever you want to sell and sell it to the highest bidder.
Some people try to do it on the phone by offering their merchandise.
How much per? What are you paying for gold? What are you paying for gold?
There are so many deceptive ways to answer that question. You just can't do it on the phone.
Well, we'll continue this conversation in just a minute with more insider information. Call us at 210-308-8867. You're listening to In the Money with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. Hi, I'm David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction and co-host of KLUP's In the Money. When you want a new car, you don't drive your old car to the junkyard. When it's time to move, you don't sell your old house for firewood. So why would you treat your old jewelry that way? Your unwanted valuables aren't scrap. At the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, up to 25,000 qualified bidders from all over the world compete for your unwanted valuables at our live auctions. We also need your coins and currency, firearms, and almost any unwanted valuable. Sell it on the spot or auction it for even more money. What's in your closet? Get more at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio. Texas license number 16604, member of the Better Business Bureau. Call 210-592-8786 or visit jewelryexchangeandauction.com. Jewelryexchangeandauction.com. You're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? 210-308-8867. Call us toll-free at 866-308-8867. The phone lines are open right now. We're walking you through step-by-step what it takes to sell your unwanted jewelry. And Adam,
I've been spending a lot of time talking about resellable merchandise, better merchandise that we can get a premium for. However, most of the jewelry that we see is not in a resellable style or condition. And honestly, most of it does go right to the refiner and literally get taken apart. The stones get taken out and returned to us, and the metal gets melted and recycled. And so in that case, we are going to be, or anybody that's treating you fairly, will be putting it on the scale and first determining what does it weigh. We weigh everything in grams. A lot of people will like to talk to you about penny weights.
Yeah, penny weight.
penny weights, I find, is a way that they can make the numbers sound bigger. It's part of the smoke and mirrors of this business. There's an awful lot of smoke and mirrors.
I mean, technically, there are 31.1 grams to the troy ounce, but 20 penny weight to the troy ounce. So it enables somebody to kind of try. Here's an example of how that deception might work. Oh, they're paying you $24 a gram? They're paying you $24 a gram for 14 carat? Well, we're paying $32 a penny weight. And everybody knows 32 is higher than 24, therefore we must be greater. But I just quoted you in penny weight compared to their gram, and you know what? That's pretty much the same price, pretty much the same thing. Anyone talking to you in penny weights is trying to confuse you. Nobody in our business really talks about penny weights.
Before the break, that's a point I was trying to illustrate, was that that's another reason why you can't shop it around on the phone, is because some people will talk to you about penny weights, some people will talk to you about grams, some might not even factor in their commission, some people might just outright just not tell you the truth just to get you in the door.
And how much are you paying for silver? Well, the fact is the refiner right now will give us about 68 cents a gram for sterling silver. So somebody might make a quote based on what they know they can get. But you know, we know something about silver. We are the biggest resellers of James Avery, the biggest sellers of estate James Avery in the world. We brag about our two phone calls and one letter from the James Avery Craftsman Corporation. I mean, in their defense, they're always very, very nice about it. But whenever they see huge amounts of James Avery being sold, they want to make sure, first of all, that it's really estate jewelry. Otherwise, they might have a problem in their internal security, and they want to make sure that that's not happening. And also, their attorney, it was the nicest cease and desist letter I've ever received. And believe me, folks, I've received cease and desist letters before. They wanted to make sure that we were using their trademark correctly in a way that didn't destroy the value of their trademark. But we know about James Avery, and I'll tell you something. James Avery charms sell for 6 to 8 times their melt value. James Avery rings sell for 2 to 3 times their melt value. James Avery heavy bracelets, 1.5 to 2.5 times their melt value. You know, there's exceptions to every single rule, but we could write a book about this.
I just paid 10 times the metal value for a David Yurman small silver ring.
Right. So somebody who, and we buy a lot of pieces like Yurman and Tiffany. I'm not even going to put it on a scale. What difference does it make?
That's right.
We sold a... Well, we sell silver dollars all the time. A silver dollar right now has about $18 worth of silver in it, and we sell them every week. Some of them go for thousands and thousands of dollars. It just doesn't matter on a lot of types of merchandise how much metal is in there. But even then, if we do put it on a scale, maybe we have a multiplier, like I was talking about the Avery, and we're able to pay way over the silver value for that. But it has to be genuine Avery. And we have to know that that's a fact.
My smart aleck answer for what do you pay for silver is somewhere between zero and a million.
that's really about as accurate as you can get.
And so when we're talking about jewelry, though, that cannot be resold, we're going to first determine what is the weight in grams. A gram is a gram is a gram. And we're going to read the hallmarks, determine what the purity of the metal is. And with a little bit of math that we're happy to explain, with those two pieces of information, you can determine, along with the current spot price, and we track it on our website. We have a live ticker that comes from kitco.com, and you can do a simple calculation and figure out how much metal is actually there.
Yeah, you can see the gold and silver prices, the spot prices, right up to the second, and so much more information right on our website at www.jewelryexchangeandauction.com. So much information in our library, on our library tab, all these different things we need to know, all these different tables and lists of hallmarks, and you get a piece of Native American jewelry with a mark on it. Who made that? Is it important? Does anybody care? I mean, the amount of information is endless there in our library at www.jewelryexchangeandauction.com. If we need to use that information, maybe you do too, so please feel free to take advantage of that. Log on.
But even with jewelry that's going to be taken apart, the gemstones and diamonds inside are still worth something. We do get those back. The refiner does remove them for us chemically.
When we give merchandise to the refiner, well, we don't give it to them. We sell it to them at a dear price. You know, the refiner for the most part, with some exceptions, will pay us 98.5%, 98.5% of the spot gold price for gold scrap, and 95% of the spot silver price for silver scrap. And sometimes we give them lots, and they refine it and pay us on the spot, but sometimes we give them lots with stones in them.
And the stones are returned. For the very, very small diamonds, I'm talking about diamonds from, from 1 to 5 points, a point being 1/100th of a carat. We're talking about very small diamonds. That I've made some of these, we call them roadrunners.
Yeah.
So they're almost exclusively in Los Angeles. They come around, they travel around the United States and buy small, what we call melee diamonds, a mix of small diamonds of varying color and clarity. And I've made them compete with each other. And
well, we're an auction company. We have standing bids from
right.
these guys.
And for the very small ones, I can get now up to $100 per carat for the very, very small
stones.
Yeah,
we say from 0 to 5 points, 100 points to the carat. A five-pointer is a 20th of a carat. So for a 20th of a carat diamond or less, we can get $100 a carat. That doesn't stop the jewelers, when these diamonds are set in jewelry, from charging $300, $400, $500, $600 a carat. But when they're naked on a plate, is the way I say it, then they're just in a baggie, then what are they worth? We get $100.
And if you have just one, it's a couple of bucks, but they add up awfully quickly. Don't give them away. I just sold a bag which contained about 55 carats, and it's not a big bag. It's a teeny bag. And, do the math. At $100 a carat, that's $5,500.
To you people who are convinced that every single diamond is worth a lot of money, I'm going to give you an invitation. Adam Smiley knows what I'm going to say. 19903 Stone Oak Parkway, Suite 206 at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. We're open 10 to 6 Monday through Saturday during regular business hours. Come on up. We'll give you a diamond. I'll give you two diamonds. When you listen to In the Money, you're just going to hear the truth. It's, some of the jewelers say, oh, you're ruining the jewelry market. No, our jewelry market's just fine. Don't worry about us. You know, fastest hour on radio. We're out of time for this week. I want to thank Brian, our producer, and thank you listeners for joining us. We'll be back next Thursday evening at 8 o'clock with more insider information and hard answers to your questions. Please don't hesitate to call. We really do have the answers. We know everything, at least we think we do, about buying and selling almost anything. You can reach us during the week by email, questions@inthemoneyradio.com. We'll answer every email. We'll share the best ones on the air. Meanwhile, we hope to see you Saturday evening at our live auction at the Jewelry Exchange in Stone Oak. And we hope you'll join us again next week for In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Thanks for joining us this evening. We hope you have a great week. And don't forget, stay tuned now for the Dennis Miller Show.